Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, and abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of Christ, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised through the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in end. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us as we continue to study, Lord, the book of Colossians, specifically, Lord, in this teaching that we began last Wednesday night on developing a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. May we understand all that's available in him and with him and through him. And Lord, thank you for the great portion of scripture that lifts up Jesus to us. Lord, I pray that you'll make us hungry for it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I believe I'll be finishing up tonight this study on developing a personal relationship with Christ. So it'll be last Wednesday we began it. This Wednesday, Lord willing, we'll finish it. And these are two back-to-back Bible studies that could be of such great benefit to you. I talk a lot about developing a personal relationship with Christ. You'll hear other preachers preach on developing a personal relationship with Christ. I hear a lot at teen meetings where a preacher preaching to young people will tell you, you know what, the difference between a young person that goes on for God and the one that doesn't go on for God is that sometime in your life you've got to develop a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think a lot of people go like this and shake their head, and they understand the sense of that truth. But here's the question: how do you develop a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And so let me review and just mention the things. So we went through so much last week. We'll just mention them and then go right into the study tonight. But after we receive Christ, the Bible says, verse number 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So first of all, we have to make a decision to walk in Christ. Walk in Christ. In Christ, that's interesting. Yes, we walk with him, but we ought to walk in him. He ought to set the parameters of our walk. So it's not a matter of saying, Jesus, I want you to walk with me today. By the way, I'm going to go out into the world and live for the devil and do all these wrong things, but I'd sure like you to come. Now, walking in him means that he sets the parameters of our life. By the way, we talked about him being synonymous with the word, and these are the parameters that he sets for us. So beginning to walk in Christ. And as we do so, something begins to happen. Verse 7, we're rooted and built up in him. And we talked about that, that big old shade tree, the big oak tree that you see growing all over southern Indiana in people's yards and stuff. And you see that thing tall, and you see the great limbs and the foliage and all of that. And then you think to yourself, my science teacher told me that the same width and the same size as the branches and the leaves represent, if we could only see it underground, the roots of that rooted and built up in him. And the more that we walk in Christ, the more we spend time in the Bible, the deeper our roots begin to grow, the more we're able to go upward and grow upward and strong with him. And we taught on that. And then we got to the truth in verse number 10, and ye are complete in him. And that's what we're looking for: in him, with him, through him, in this portion of scripture, developing a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. After you've received him, after you begin to walk in him, and after you become rooted and built up in him, There's a moment in time when you realize, you know what? I am complete in him. It's just not a course. It's the truth. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. And then we jumped around into different parts of the rest of this chapter and saw where God led the Apostle Paul to try to push back on those that were saying, I'm glad you have Jesus, but you know you also need. I'm glad you have Jesus, but have you ever? I know you need have Jesus, but you also. Well, wait a minute, folks. You are complete in him. And so that's a wonderful thing. Now we're talking about developing this relationship. Let's go on forward, all right? Verse number 11. In whom, we're talking about in Christ then, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Jesus Christ. All right, so I've received Christ and I begin to walk with him and then I become more rooted and built up in him. And as I do, I begin to realize how complete I am in him. And when you realize how complete you are in him, all of a sudden, guess what? Your appetites for sin and your appetites for the world begin to diminish. And you know what? All the things that used to be so big and so important, somehow they just don't seem like that big a deal anymore. So number four, listen, we're going to walk in him. We're going to be rooted and build up in him. We're going to realize we're complete in him. But then we begin to separate ourselves unto him. How do we do this? Putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Jesus Christ. As your relationship with Christ grows stronger, the sins of your flesh, listen, will become more and more unacceptable. Not to God. We know it's unacceptable to God. It'll become more and more unacceptable to you. And by the way, let me give some of you hope. If you'll buy into this, preacher, I've just got these sins of the flesh and I can't beat them and I can't win. Let me ask you this. How's your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Because as you develop this close relationship with him, the sins of your flesh become more and more unacceptable to you and even more and more undesirable to you. Now, folks, let me just see if I can bring it down to a level, and we'll talk about on the human plane and prove that it's true, and then think about how much more when we spend time with Christ. I think one of the solid teachings of the Word of God is encouraging us that if we're going to go upward for Christ and be all that we need to be for the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the ways that we achieve this is to make sure that we're aligning ourselves and spending time with those who are also have a heart for God and also love the Lord and also are wanting to live the right kind of life, because we are influenced, listen, by who we spend time with. It's inarguable, solid Bible principles. We could literally go from Genesis to Revelation and either find verses that say that or stories that prove that. And so one of the decisions that I made as a young man when I decided it's time to get serious about serving the Lord was this. I think I've told you this, but when I went off to Bible college, my dad said, don't let circumstances choose your friends. You need to look ahead at upperclassmen. You need to look at old men that are older and that are still Bible college students. But you know what? Upperclassmen, they've got an excitement for the Lord and a passion for God, and they're doing things right, and they got their act together. And you know what? He said, hey, I know you're going to have some friends that are freshmen, but don't let that group define you. Okay, and so I think it's a great thing to always look ahead, look above. Who is farther down the road than I am? Who is farther towards the goal than I am? I want to spend time with them. I want to build, let me put it this way. Come on, are there certain people that when you just hang around them, you want to be better? Are there certain people that when you just pick up the phone and call them and spend 3 or 4 minutes with them, talk to them, it makes you hang up and want to be better, better for the Lord? I promise you this is true if that's true. Are there people that if you hang around and you spend much time, you want to be less for God? And at some point, you got to pick your crowd. And, you know, it's not a cliche, although it's probably become one. It's true. You show me your friends today, I'll show you who you'll be tomorrow. And so, you know, I've still tried to follow that pattern of life. I want to find people that are more advanced. I want to find my peers that have the same excitement and desire that I have, that are growing with me, And then at some stage, not very far down the road, I want to turn around and look for that one that's maybe coming up behind me that has a heart that I can be a blessing to, make me a blessing to someone today. And if I'm hanging around people that are doing it and have already achieved some of the things that I'm wanting to achieve, and people that are striving to achieve those things, and people coming up behind that I can turn around and be a blessing to that have that heart. Maybe they don't have their act completely together, but they have that heart. Now, come on, folks, listen to me. You know what? You can fool yourself. Well, I'm just trying to help them. I'm talking about people coming up behind you that have a heart and want to do it. Well, preacher, what about people ahead of you that don't want to? When I identify that, listen, I don't become their enemy. I don't badmouth them. I don't talk them down. But I'm sorry, folks. I don't want to spend much time around them. And what about my peers when I figure it out? I mean, God bless them. I'll pray for them. But you know what, folks? Listen to me. I'm going somewhere. I want to be something. And I know myself enough to know that I'm human enough. If I start hanging around critics, pretty soon I'll be critical. I start hanging around worldly people and carnal people, that they're going to bring that, they're going to help resurrect that old nature, and there I go again. Okay, and so you've got to make some decisions in life. Now, if that's true on the human level, watch this. If you decide that you're going to build as the most important relationship of your life a relationship with Jesus Christ, show me where you can find a more positive influence in your life. So this idea of walking with God and walking with Christ allows you to be strengthened and helped so that you can help those that are to your right and to your left. You can help those. And by the way, if you hang around with the real deal all of the time, it makes you pretty quick to point to figure out who a counterfeit is. Excuse me, folks. But you know what? There are tares among the wheat, and there are goats among the sheep. And you know what? I watched young people go to Bible college the same year I went to Bible college. And by the way, you can go to Bible college. That don't mean you're in a perfect place. I mean, my first year of Bible college was exciting, and I grew, and I advanced, and I went forward. And I feel like I just accelerated my Christian life. But I watched guys in the same registration line as I did, and you know what? They crashed and burned and got kicked out. You know what one of the main things was? What crowd they decided to hook up with. Because I don't care if it's a Bible college, Christian school. I don't care if it's here at the church. I don't care where you are in life. If you're floating around church hopping looking for that perfect place, well, good luck. Good luck. But I'm going to tell you, I believe that there's plenty of people, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, wanting to go the right direction. And they have positive things to say and excited about the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, they roll up their sleeves every week and they get busy and get after it. And they've got the right heart and they want to see God do something. Hey, hook up with that crowd. Hook up with that crowd. But more important than that, shouldn't the person you want to spend the most time with be the Lord Jesus Christ? And as you begin to spend time with him, can I say this? Remember what I said a minute ago? Is there somebody you spend time with that afterwards you just want to be better? Well, folks, can I say this? When I spend time with my Lord, it inspires. I want to be better. I want to be better. I want to do better. I want to be more. And so we begin then to look at our lives and we begin to separate ourselves from things, lay aside those weights. Ask God to give us victory over those besetting sins. By the way, I'm not talking about a ratification of the flesh. Some of you will know what I'm talking about. Some of you won't. Pray and fast and surrender and will yourself into a state of sinlessness. Spending time with Christ will not make you sinless, but it will make you want to sin less. And I spent a month preaching on the subject of holiness. I'm going to go back on all of that. But folks, remember, it starts with separation, then sanctification, and then holiness. And you know what? If you're not willing to go through that, it starts with separation. If you're not willing to break unequal yokes, well, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Okay, then just keep hanging around that pagan and see what happens to you in your Christian life. Guess what? Some of becoming Christ-like and the path to holiness means breaking unequal yokes, separating yourselves from anything that opposes God, refusing to touch unclean things. Sanctification is the process of beginning to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and cleansing ourselves from the filthiness of the spirit, not wallowing in it. And holiness is this idea of perfecting holiness in the fear of God through a close relationship with God. That's what we're talking about, developing this personal relationship. Separation, sanctification, and holiness will always be a struggle to someone who does not have a strong personal relationship to Jesus Christ. The closer you get to Christ, the easier it is to gain victory over the sins of the flesh. A close relationship with Jesus Christ will help you win battles over your flesh. I mean, the closer you are to a holy God, the more sin will become exceedingly sinful in your sight. The more Jesus means to you, the less the world will mean to you. By the way, if that's true, the more the world means to you, the less Jesus will mean to you. Now, could I ask you an honest question? Here we go. We did a lot of talking. Let's get down to some self-examination with God's help, please. But which one are you spending the most time with? Which one are you building the strongest relationship? If you're building the strongest relationship with the world, then it's taking you away from Christ. If you determined to build a strong relationship with Christ, let me tell you this, it will automatically pull you away from the world and worldliness. And some things will just begin to become unacceptable. You know why? Because you don't want to offend the one that you've built this relationship with. So good questions for us, amen. Well, preacher, it sounds easy. How in the world do I win this thing? I mean, you talk about the sins of the flesh and the battle of the flesh, and man, I'm fighting that and I feel like I'm losing. By the way, everybody fights that. You're not on an island. Well, how in the world can I win that? Let's go on down. Let's learn some more things when it comes to spending time. How about verse number 12? Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together, where quicken means to make alive, to resurrect. He quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And so now we're going to talk more about our relationship. All right, so we're walking with Christ. We've received him, then we begin to walk in him. We begin to become, because of that, rooted and built up in him. At some point where we realize, man alive, I'm complete in Christ. And then as I continue this relationship, I find myself separating myself unto him, this ministry of Christ, this miracle of Christ, the circumcision of Christ, the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh, and then buried with him and risen with him. And I'm going to spend the bulk of the rest of the time on this. Please hear me out here, folks. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through faith. Through faith. You know what, folks? Baptism, let's review that. Let's look at that. Let's recognize it for what it is. What a beautiful picture. Beautiful picture for a new Christian. You think about this. The very first command, isn't that what we say, first step of obedience? The very first thing that God asks a brand new born-again Christian to do is to be baptized. And I think, you know what, folks, if we're not careful, we don't spend enough time talking to that person, explaining to that person, because to me, it is the first thing, and you know what, it's also a big deal, and I want them to understand, and you know what, I'm not sure any of us understand the whole depth of it. I mean, you know, you get saved, and you spend your entire Christian life understanding what happened the day you got saved, and you get baptized, and as you grow in the Lord, you realize more and more the significance of that. And people say, well, it's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it absolutely is. It's your chance to stand up publicly and to show what God did in your heart, what you believed in your heart. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is pictured in front, publicly in front of everyone. I want to be buried in the likeness of Christ. I want to be raised to walk. What do we say? In newness of life. Where do we get that? Well, we'll go through some scriptures in a minute. Beautiful picture, a public statement of our belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But wait a minute, also a public statement of our intent to die to the sins that he died for, bury that old man and his old deeds, and rise to walk in newness of life, in newness of life. What a picture, what a picture. Let me have you move around the scripture. Save your place there because I want to go somewhere, but you're going to have to stay with me mentally, okay, mentally. Why is it that the times where our minds most tend to wander in a sermon is when the Bible's being read? And you think the devil might be behind that? You think the devil, you know, why is it that we zone out when the scriptures are being read and then begin to listen again when the preacher talks? I mean, could I just say this to you? I don't want you zoning out at all, but if it's when God's inspired, preserved words are being read or Jerry Ross is talking, I think this would be the time to focus the most, okay? Because these verses are amazing. 1 Peter chapter 2, let's go back there first. 1 Peter chapter 2, and look. Let's look at verse number 21. We're going to talk about, I'm going to bring this together, folks, buried with him, risen with him. What's that talking about, preacher? I'm sick of losing the battle. I'm sick of the devil having control of me. I'm sick of losing the battle with the flesh. I mean, the devil's convinced me I can't. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. But you know what? You're going to have to develop a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about a relationship after salvation. Part of that relationship is learning and understanding that you were buried with him and risen with him. In 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse number 21, 1 Peter 2, 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Watch this. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body. Our sins in his own body. Our sins, that means my sins was in his body. Your sins was in his body. All of our sins he bore in his own body on the tree that we, why did he do that? Being dead to sin, should live under righteousness by whose stripes ye were healed. All right, let that settle in a second. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. So if you'll move on over to 2 Timothy and then chapter number 2. And I want to read some verses there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse number 8. 2 Timothy 2, 8. Watch this. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. For it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Did you see that? Notice verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Interesting. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter number 3. Preacher, you're not making much comment. I want the Bible to talk right now a little while. Let's just kind of let it talk to us, all right? Philippians chapter 3, verse number 7. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 7. Well, I love this portion of Scripture. We referenced it already once in this study. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now, folks, he's not talking about salvation, because you don't have to win salvation. You don't have to work for salvation. You don't have to earn salvation. But what he's talking about is his heart's desire to have a closer, more personal relationship with Jesus Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know him. Boy, I want you to ask yourselves a question. I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit. I mean, we're talking about developing a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know him? People say, well, do you know Christ? And we automatically go back to our salvation experience and say, well, yeah, I received him. Wait. Okay, I didn't ask you if you were saved. I said, do you know him? Do you know him? And then I love this next phrase, and the what? Power of his resurrection. He said, you got saved. Do you realize you can be buried with me? You know you can be risen with me? You know that your sins that I took, that you're struggling with right now, do you realize that I bore those sins in my body? I died for them sins. You realize that I went into that grave and then I came out triumphant, and I have given you the opportunity to live in the power of that moment, the power of the resurrection. Now stay with me here, okay? Stay with me. We're going somewhere. I love that. I hope that consumes some of you, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I preached a message 2 or 3 years ago on how to live in the power of the resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. That's what we're talking about. I'm talking about being saved here. I know you're saved, but do you know him, and have you ever lived a day or a moment in the power of the resurrection? Okay, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Now, did Paul feel like he'd achieved sinless perfection? He says this, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He said, I want to live like that. I want to live. But he said, not as though I've already attained. There's no sinless perfection here. Neither we're already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. All right, let me help you this way. Okay, Paul knew this. I mean, he'd been taught things by Christ. God used him to write the inspired words, and he understands that one of these days our corruption will be put off, incorruption will be put on. I talked to you the other day. Can you imagine waking up in heaven and for the first time ever, we can't even imagine what it is to wake up in heaven and not have the millstone of the old man and the millstone of the sinless flesh for the first second of our life to be completely free of that. And we're going to be given a glorified body. And it's not going to fight us like this body fights us every single day of our lives. And Paul knew that, and he said, you know what? I want to live in the power of the resurrection. I want to live as close to that I will have one day as I can now. Okay, and again, you know, people take this over too far. He said, I haven't attained it. He said, no, I've never attained it. But watch this, here's what happens. Well, I've tried to live for God, and I've tried to do right, and I just can't, so I'm not even going to try. I'll just quit, because I can't do it. You know what Paul got up every day and said? I know enough theology to realize I can't, but I'm going to trick myself today into thinking that I might just get there. And every day I'm going to work as hard to live as I will one day be allowed to live as I possibly can, but I can't unless I'm buried with him and risen with him. And so you know what, folks, listen to me. This is what we're talking about, dying to self and killing that old man and offering it as a sacrifice to God every single morning. I heard one old preacher say, man, when you wake up out of bed, before you get out of bed, turn that bed into an altar and you offer yourself a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. You kill that old man, and you know what? You rise out of that bed determined to live in the power of the resurrection. Get your Bible. Spend time with God. Follow and pursue Christ in everything that you do. And are you going to live sinless? No. But the people that do that will sin a lot less than the person that just has this surrender. Well, we're all sinners, you know, and nobody ever has got through a day without sinning, so why try to make this the first one, you know? And we use that as an excuse. When what we ought to be doing is pursuing Christ. It's kind of like, I don't know, you know, I was thinking about how do you illustrate this, you know? If you've ever competed against somebody in a sporting activity, maybe let's say there was a time where you were in track or cross country, and you know what, there was the one guy that was like the superstar in cross country, or the one guy that was superstar in the 2 mile, and you knew every time you ran against him, he was probably going to beat you. But you know what you started measuring yourself off of? By the way, you could just say, well, I'm quitting. I'll just quit track. Well, you know, if I can't If I can't beat this guy, I'll just quit. I can't be as good as him, I'll just quit. But you know what the best runners do? They work hard and turn that into a motivation. And maybe they never will beat that guy, but they measure every time they compete, they measure with how much closer they got to him. I'm never going to spend one day being exactly 100% like Jesus in everything I say and do until I'm made again in his likeness. But that doesn't mean I ought to have this surrender mentality. I ought to say, well, Lord Jesus, you know, I never have made it. And I know, according to the Bible, I never will till I see in glory. But, man, I'd like to give it a good shot today. I'd like to see if I can stay in the same lap with you. Okay? Say, preacher, what holds us back from that? The old man. The old man. I'm going to go to the real important portion of Scripture. I'll pull all these rest together. Romans chapter 6. We'll leave you with this tonight, but stay with me. In the next few minutes, I'm going to say some important things. Don't check out. Ladies, don't put your shoes on yet. Just let's stay and get to the finish line. Don't let the devil take away what we've spent the last 20, 25 minutes building to. In Romans chapter 6, look at verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Don't have a give it up attitude. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we had been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also, in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man, there's our problem, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Oh, I want to see if I can get you to understand something. I know this is going to be a little strange, but stay with me, okay? All right, one of the things you have to understand, this is how I view Jerry Ross, and if you begin to do this, it'll help you. The day that you got saved, there isn't no longer just one of you, there are two yous. This is what the Bible teaches. There's the old man and there's the new man. Okay, so there's two of you. The man of our old nature, the old man is the man of our old nature, our pre-salvation self, our corrupt human nature, our inborn bent towards wrong and tendency towards evil. This old man was controlled by Satan, dominated by sin, and enslaved to the works of unrighteousness. Then we get saved. And our spirit is reborn. And God purchases from Satan's control this lost sinner, imparts to us the Holy Spirit of God, gives us a new man with a new nature. Okay, now stop and think about this. Let me tell you, sometimes a young person will get into a spiritual funk. And you know what that means is, by the way, let me tell you what that is. That means that they're surrendering to live like the old man. But you still have a new man. Okay? And they get into this spiritual funk, which means that they are lowering themselves or allowing themselves to be controlled by the flesh, the old man, which, by the way, I just read is dead, was crucified on the cross. Okay? Now, there's two ways you've got to decide to live. You've got this new man that life was breathed into and reborn by the Holy Spirit of God. And not only did God send the Holy Spirit to breathe life into that dead spirit of yours and reborn it, but he said, hey, Holy Spirit, while you're down there doing that in that person, just go ahead and park there, take up residency, and stay there until I take you to glory. Okay, so we've got this new man and this new nature with the Holy Spirit wanting to empower this new man, and that, by the way, that can be you too. Or if you want to, listen, this is the resurrected man. Okay? Here's the man that was crucified on the cross, the old man, who the Bible said is dead. And here's the resurrected new man. Now, here's what I want you to picture. Okay, tomorrow morning, I'm going to decide which one of these two of me is going to dominate my life. I can just take the new resurrected man, take him back over here to the tomb, stuff him in, roll the stone away and put mortar on it, and just live out this. Or I could recognize that this man has been already defeated. Jesus took care of that. Dead! And I can die to this old man, go to the cross, put him on the cross, leave him on the cross, and decide to live in the power of the resurrection. Okay, now I want you pictured, I know Jerry Ross got a weird imagination, okay? It's almost like, okay, I can live through two of me, two bodies. Here's one that is empowered and by the Holy Spirit of God and been given breath and life by God. And this is one that I can perform wonderful things for the Lord and I can see miracles and I can be in communion with God. I mean, this, I want you to picture the healthiest, most amazing you could imagine. And then I want you to recognize a rotting, maggot-infested corpse. And you start giving into this. You get used to the stench and the smell of it. And you start saying, well, and I've heard young people say this, well, you know, I'm just tired of church and I'm just going to go back and, you know, I'm just going to not go to church and because I just feel like I'm living a lie. Here's what they say. I just don't feel like I'm really being me. Okay? Which you? Well, I'm just not being me. Well, which you? The stinking corpse you? The maggot-infested corpse you? The one that's filthy? So I guess, you know, you can say, I'd like to take this stinking corpse, Lord, and I'd like to nail it to the cross. And I'd like to recognize it as dead, and I'm not going to let it have power over me. And I'm going to live through the power of the resurrection with your help, God, with the Holy Spirit's help. And Lord, I may not achieve Christ like this. As a matter of fact, I know in my heart that it's impossible, but I don't want to surrender and give myself excuses because Jesus, I want to hang with you. I want to be as close. Maybe I can't even stay on the same lap, but I want to keep you within sight. Okay? And so you got this new man that's available every day that you can help with God's help live like this new man that's been resurrected. Or you can take it back over here every day and say, here's this new healthy man. Pull the stone away. I'd rather take this rotting, filthy corpse, throw it over my shoulder, and walk around and live with the influence of it in my life. And by the way, nobody can decide for you but you. And it's not a one-time decision, young man, and you're off the hook the rest of your life. I wish it was. And I think that thing's gone, and every morning, there it is again. You know, it's a zombie. It keeps coming back to life, all right? There it is. So, okay, I can wake up tomorrow, and I've got to decide, okay? I'm going to let this old nature that's been crucified with Christ, that God reckons as dead, and I'm just going to drag it around with me all day long and use it as an excuse that, oh, I just tried that, but I just can't live for the Lord, so I'm just going to hang out here with my corpse. All right? I mean, both lives are available. Well, I feel like that this is who I really am. It is who you really are. But so's this. Stop hiding behind that. Unless you haven't been saved. If you haven't been saved, this is all you got. Okay? So maybe you need to get saved so you at least have a choice. But the honest truth is you get backslidden, you get away from God, you get around the wrong crowd. Okay, I mean, folks, listen to me. There's a whole group of people that are the used-to-bes. I mean, they all are walking around with dead, stinking corpses draped around them and draped over them, and they're dragging them from behind. Every once in a while, a leg falls off, and they pick it up, and they stick it in their pocket under their arm, and they dry, and they stink like filth. And they are the, I can't, you can't, I can't, no big deal. I can still be a good Christian with maggots crawling all over me. Now, you know, make your choice. But that don't sound like much of a life. And so, you know, if you begin to build this relationship with Christ, and listen, folks, when you begin to build this relationship with Christ, you know, just being in his presence, okay, if I accepted him and I want to walk with him, so I begin to walk with him, but I get rooted in him and built up in him, and I realize I'm complete in him. And you know what? I realize the more time I spend with him, the more nasty that seems, and a better option this seems. And so I just want to get up every morning and say, Lord, man, when I got saved, Lord, something happened. When you died on the cross, something happened. And my sins were put on that cross, and they've been paid for. That old man was crucified with you. And it shouldn't have any control in my life. The only way it can have control is if I decide I'm going to let it have control. But the honest truth is, I can live in the power of the resurrection. I have the Holy Spirit of God in me. A triune member of the mighty God came and lived inside of me and breathed into life my dead spirit and stayed here to help that spirit gain victories every day. And listen, I just want you to understand this. If you're saved, you are not going to stand before God one of these days with a bunch of excuses of why you couldn't. Okay? Because he's given us what we need to live a consistent, victorious Christian life. But you know what? A lot of that is either going to be encouraged or discouraged by who we hang around, by whether or not we built that personal relationship with Christ. And then build earthly relationships with people who are interested in having a strong relationship with Christ. And you make that your crowd. Okay? It doesn't mean you hate the other crowd. It doesn't mean you don't pray for the other crowd. It don't mean you don't try to encourage the other crowd. But dude, once I decide, listen, I'm not hanging with the corpse crowd. That's not my crowd. All right? I mean, they've got the new man and they've got the old man and they choose to live under the power of something that's been destroyed and defeated. Well, guess what? I got a choice I get to make every day too. And I have to live with the consequences of my choices. So I'm going to choose, watch this, how about we just choose Christ? How about we just choose Jesus every day? Choose him. Make him the number one. Building that relationship with him will be the number one goal. And then you know what you're going to find out? Pretty soon it's so easy to identify people of like heart and like mind because we're all trying to do the same thing together. And it's also pretty easy to figure out the ones that are just going through the motions and playing the game. But the honest truth is they seem to have more pleasure in letting the old man control them than they do the new man that's inside of them. I hope some of that made sense to you. Because we have an opportunity here. We can still crucify that old man. We can still refuse to become the servant of sin. We can, according to Romans chapter 6, declare ourselves freed from sin. When Jesus rose from the dead, a new man rose with him. It's illustrated by baptism. Every day you ought to say, Lord, I remember that day. I'm going to take today and walk in newness of life. Your new man has the ability to reckon yourself dead into sin by daily crucifying the old man, declaring yourself free from the power of sin, declare yourself instead a servant of righteousness, and decide you're never again, with God's help, return to the bondage of Satan or to the service of sin. And buddy, let me tell you something. Every once in a while somebody will say something about, you know, when you were this age, I remember, and I'll say, yeah, that was the old Jerry Ross. I remember that guy. That's when I let the old Jerry Ross control my life. Yeah. But it was you. Well, yeah, it was me. But there's a new me. There's a better me. I figured that out. I figured out that I'd rather live this way than the other way. There's two Jerry Rosses. One is the old man. The other's the new man. Every day I have to decide if I'm going to crucify the old man or entomb the new man. I hope you never forget that. Crucify the old man or entomb the new man. Every day I have to decide if I'm going to access the power of the resurrection and live a glorified supernatural life or if I'm going to drudge up the corrupt, lifeless corpse of the old man and try to live my life through him. I know this, that old man can't defeat Satan. He gives in to fleshly lusts and appetites. He's enslaved and dominated by sin. But the new man is yielded to God, lives through the power of the resurrection, embraces holiness, can perform some amazing acts of godly service and righteous deeds. The old man is carnal, the new man spiritual. The old man was crucified with Christ, and in the eyes of God is a rotten corpse. The new man is a miracle, raised with Christ, glorified in nature, supernatural in its potential, and efficient and effective in making a godly impact on a lost and dying world. Choose which of you you're going to be, but don't act like you don't have a choice. If you choose this, it's because you chose it. And if you choose this, it's because you chose it. And then what happens? We begin to live victorious through him. He's the one that when he rose from the dead, spoiled principalities and power, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. That's next week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us as we develop and build this relationship with you. I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to live on the victory side. And Lord, I know that this is deep, and I know this is supernatural stuff. And to be honest with you, Lord, sometimes there's parts of it that I'm not even sure I fully grasp, but I do understand, Lord, that there's two of all of us. And Lord, I know that there's available to us the power of the resurrection, to live in the power of the resurrection. I don't always understand it, but I know when it's happening. And I know it's not me. I know it's you. And I like it. It's a great way to live. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, dear God, to make the right decision. Help these young people to make the right decision. Because, Lord, there's a life that's got to be lived and choices made, and there's rewards and or consequences attached to these choices. I pray that you put in the heart of your people a hunger to develop a personal relationship with your son. Jesus, I pray, dear God, that we would get hungry to know you. Like Paul would say, that I may know him. I mean, everything that I had, I counted but dung. I counted the loss of all things, that I could win Christ. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us when we come to those things in our life where it's a choice between this or getting closer to Jesus, this or knowing Christ on a new level. May we take that admonition. May we be directed by that, the scriptures. Lord, may we desire you above everything. Help us, Lord. Give us a heart for Jesus.